Everybody, huddle up. Live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, this is the Great Dane Huddle featuring Badgers legend and special guest host, Barry Alvarez.
I'd love to coach a game like that.
Oh, man.
They may not see a pass in the second half. And that was good. That would be the shortest second half in Camp Randall history. I'd run that clock. That game would be over. We'd be home having cocktails at 3:30.
On 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand, alongside former Badgers Derek Engler and Tarek Saleh, here's Alex Gravatt.
It is the Great Dane Huddle live from the Fitchburg location of the Great Dane. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Derek Engler and, of course, Tarek Saleh is not here, but Coach Barry Alvarez joins us virtually from his undisclosed location, somewhere warmer, as I had to scrape the ice off of my car. It was one block of ice this morning. Coach, how you living?
I'm doing just fine. I'm not worried about ice except in my drink.
How's the golf game going down there?
You know what? I play the same. I stink. I don't worry. I don't practice. I don't practice golf. I go out and play. I've got a good group that I play with. I play Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I enjoy playing, and I'm capable of throwing a decent score up, but I really don't worry about it. Game's over. I come home. I don't worry about it. My wife never asks me how I play, or if she does, I say, okay, and then I move on. So I don't worry about golf.
You know, G-Man, Coach is, I'm not a golfer, right? So I think one of the first times I golfed with him might have been a decade or so ago, and it was a new head coach in Gary Anderson, and they used to have Badger Days down a fundraising event or donor event at one of our donors, long-time alumni and just Badger true and through, and that was Danny Zakis, and he would host a golf outing. So we're down there at this very nice country club. You can only imagine the beautiful homes and so on and so forth, and I'm nervous as hell that I'm going to hit one of these houses. You know, Saleh's on his phone every other hole, so, you know, but Coach was so laid back. You know, he's like, I don't give a, you know, bleep. I mean, you do it, just, you know, take your time, you know, just, you know, enjoy your cigar. You know, he's not one of those guys walking off the putt, you know, so to speak. I mean, he likes to go out there, have fun, you know, with some good people. He's got a good group. They might get a little bit, you know, maybe not down in Naples, but a group of, you know, at different Badger events and stuff like that, and get together, and they might, you know, they have their pairings, and they might get a little competitive, but nothing serious. And it's fun to golf with someone like that, especially with someone that's either trying to learn or doesn't golf very often. So,
right, Coach, you're a world class competitor, so I'm kind of surprised to hear that you can turn it off. How do you turn it off to, you know, just accept golf?
You know, I competed every day, and golf is just a way for me to relax. And so I decided a long time ago, I'm capable. I've got good fundamentals. And now that I have a chance to play more, but I learned years ago when I went to Iowa, this is a good lesson. My neighbor was the golf coach, Chuck Zwiner. And I said, Chuck, would you give me some lessons? You know, we had just played. And he said, you know, you have some possibilities. He said, would you practice? I said, no. He said, no. Actually, he said, what do you shoot? I said, it's like today. I shoot bogey golf. I've shot bogey golf my whole life. He said, will you practice? I said, no. He said, just keep shooting bogey golf. And that's what I do.
Now, his son Chad, on the other hand, might get a little ultra competitive, you know, but he's a good golfer, of course. You know, and it's fun. And to Coach's point, I'm going to actually, and you can pick it up at any point, I've never taken a lesson. Nobody's ever told me how to grip a golf club, which I just learned last summer. You know, I had some shoulder issues in recent years, and, you know, going to just power through that and did some things and just keep and get injections every 4 or 5 months right before the golf season starts. Here,
perfect.
Which
perfect.
Is like May.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. We'll see. It's a great game. It's a humbling game. But I'm like Coach. You know, I get excited. You know, if I par a hole or bogey, and that's very rare. You know, I get super excited. It brings you back. It's fun. I like my cigar out there. Relax. It's beautiful. I mean, there's so much about golf to enjoy. If you get really competitive, that wouldn't be fun for me.
You see, I feel like I've reached the perfect point. Now, I have not golfed in my adult life. That is my, you know, embarrassing
truth. Not once.
Not once. I disc golf with regularity all through the summer. So there's courses across the Madison area. You take your discs out. You can have, you know, 30 of them. They're $20 a pop. So, I mean, they're not too expensive. It's relatively cheap to go out there. You can buy a pass for the entire summer for $50. And I go, and I'm at this point where, as I'm a professional Ultimate Frisbee player, so my friends are really, really good at this. I don't take it quite seriously enough. So if I were any better, I would have to compete with them. If I were any worse, I'd be getting beaten by anybody I'd run into. I'm in the perfect spot where I can just kind of show up and enjoy myself and enjoy the outdoors, which that's the thing about disc golf courses. They're through the woods, and I really like that. Have either of you two ever disc golfed?
That is a hard no.
Coach?
No.
You want to come disc golfing with
me? No, I don't even know what the hell it is, but no.
All right, that's fair. Riley Yauch in the ESPN Madison Everlight Solar Studio. You're young. You seem like you might have disc golfed once or twice. The old Frolf.
Yeah, I've disc golfed before. My uncle is super into disc golf. He'll listen to disc golf podcasts, which I didn't know were a thing. So I have been a couple
like
times.
Generations apart from not only me, but Coach too, of course. I mean, I'm trying to think. I don't even know if disc golf was around 30 years ago, was it?
It was. Probably not that big. But, hey, they've got one guy. I don't even remember his name. He's the big show. Yep. He signed like a $10 million contract.
Whoa.
There's money in disc golf now.
Yeah,
I'm playing the
everywhere.
Wrong disc sport. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN, the ESPN app in Wisconsin on demand. 844-770-3776 is your way into the show. The Carbless Talk and Text Line list is more. And, of course, I'm Alex Rivett alongside Derek Engler and former athletic director, head coach Barry Alvarez. We've got an absolutely jam-packed show today. The Badgers lose their general manager, Max Steinecker. And, Coach, I got to start right away. Did you have a general manager of the football program when you were there?
No, I don't know what that is.
It's just another name for director of recruiting, but you know.
Yeah, I did have a director of recruiting. He just had a different title. That's no big deal. You
right.
still get another one.
They will get another one, but this guy in particular many of the players talked about him as if he was this.
Hold on,
22, 23.
You and I talked before the show.
Right.
First of all, when I saw this, I texted Tarek. I go, Who is this guy? I've never heard of him, don't know who he is. And you tell me on the way driving here that I guess he's some young superstar.
Absolutely.
But what is he, 23, 24?
Yeah, young 20-year, in his early to mid-20s.
Okay.
He's going to USC to become the executive of personnel. And in the guy here is just excellent. He is an awesome recruiter. He deals with the NIL stuff. He does, starting around 2020 is when they started – and the general managers started entering the game, right? Ohio State had him.
Has he been here since then?
No, he's been here.
Since Luke got here?
Since Fickell, I believe, yes.
Okay.
And so it kind of helps these coaches take a lot off of their plate. But many of the recruits that the Badgers have been seeing have been from out of state lately. These big names, a lot's been going on and going into that. And it kind of gets me thinking, are the Badgers going to start losing out on some of those guys out of state like they're losing out on guys in-state, Derek, which I know you're really passionate about?
I would rather Coach answer. I'll just answer quick because I know Coach probably has something to say about this. But, I mean, I don't know. If we're losing guys because a 24-, 25-year-old guy isn't here, you know, versus our staff, our position coaches doing the hard recruiting, we got problems.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as Coach said, I wouldn't put much emphasis on losing a guy – you know, our recruiting coordinator.
coach?
Yeah, I wouldn't lose much. I'm not going to lose much sleep over this loss. You know, he's a recruiting coordinator, and I understand he was probably on the road, but still, it's your position coaches who are out there making relationships and building relationships with coaches and players and making home visits, et cetera, et cetera. You can get a lot of people that can come in and organize and set different areas up as far as when guys get off the road and when it's time to hit the road to recruit. So I don't lose any sleep over this. I'm sure he did a good job, obviously. People speak highly of him, and that's great. Well, we'll find another guy like that. But it's the relationships with that your assistant coaches build, as far as I'm concerned, that make the difference.
All right. I see you licking your chops right now, Derek.
I'm a little more concerned about, you know, and I would love to hear coaches' response on this is, you know, I think we've lost six or seven position coaches within 2 years. That includes your offensive coordinator, an O-line coach, a D-line coach, two co-D coordinators that coach the safeties. We're on our third one going into 2025. I know a quarterback's coach, there's another one I'm missing.
Well, Phil Longo was the quarterback's coach.
So now we have Kenny Guyton moving from the wide receivers coach to the quarterback's coach. There's just a lot of transition, and to Coach's point, like, how are you building the relationships, and not only in recruiting, but with your existing players with this much within just 2 years? And maybe that's the landscape. I don't know. But that would be more of my concern than losing the recruiting coordinator.
Coach, did you ever lose a handful of assistant coaches in a single year or anything like that?
No. No, my guys stayed with me a long time, probably too long. you know,
what does it
I thought
mean?
That was important. I think when you built a program and consistency, and your players, like Derek played for the guy that recruited him, and he was there his entire tenure, and most of the guys that, you know, that played for us, they knew their coaches. The coaches had something to do with recruiting them, were there for them every day, went through their ups and downs, supported them, had them to their homes. You know, those are things that I thought was important. Your staff really has to get close to your players. That's what my staff did. That's what I felt was very important and what might separate us from other schools. And they did a good job of it. And so we didn't have a lot of turnover. So I don't know how to read this. I can't say it's good or bad that we have a turnover, a number of turnovers during Luke's time here. I don't know whether he wants him here, doesn't want him here, whether they want to move on instead of staying here. I don't know that.
Yeah, my biggest concern is how well does he know the coaches he's been hiring? Obviously, you know, with Longo, and then gave Longo kind of the, you know, free pass to bring an O-line coach that didn't go well in the first year, right? You know, Longo ends up not fitting in here with his system. You know, I'm wondering, and I think it's a fair question. You know, where is the due diligence by the head coach on who you're hiring here? Now, I get it. When you lose a D-line like Scruggs, you know, that guy is a good D-line coach. He, you know, had a lot of experience in the league and a lot of success, obviously. And Michigan hired him away and paid him more money. You know, so I get that. I'm talking more of guys that you weren't sure, you know, what they're bringing to the table here, what they're about, you know, and we'll see. It's just different, obviously, with transfer portal as well, and recruiting's different. You know, but the other thing is I didn't know, and Coach, I don't, maybe the budget's bigger, but I don't recall, and you could tell me maybe they're along the line, did we have – assistant position coaches? They got an assistant. He just hired three. He's got let's see, assistant wide receivers coach he just hired, who'd been, he got experience 15 years. The other two are young kids, well, young men, you know, but they just got out of college. You know, one of them was a stud linebacker at Ohio State, and the other one was at Iowa. Actually, Andy Ludwig's, his father, who went, his son went to Middleton High School, and they just hired him as assistant tight ends coach.
Yeah, no, the rules have changed, Derek. You know, we used to have a limit on assistant coaches.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
I remember it was a big deal when we went to nine.
That's right.
You know, and now it seems like it's unlimited. It seems to me like the GAs have assistants. They're just assistants for assistants and assistants.
Yeah, it goes from quality control to GA to assistant position coach.
And that's okay. It allows a lot of guys the opportunity to get your foot in the door, because I know how hard it was. You know, I was a high school coach and working my way up. Just to get your foot in the door in college football was difficult. Now it's much easier because everybody has about 20 jobs available.
That's right.
You know, it seems like. I don't know how many, but it's much different and seems like it's unlimited. So I don't say it's good or bad. The problem one of my issues, when you have too many coaches, they all think they're the boss coaching that position. If you have three guys in one guy's ear, that's not good. And so as long as there's control over everything that's going on and who's coaching and what the kids hear, that's the important thing. What do the players hear and who are they listening to?
Coach, a lot of these guys are really young for assistant coaches. Did you hire younger or older guys based on, you know, on age at all, or was it more so just acumen?
You know what? I hired guys that I knew could coach. Most of them I had coached with. It's hard to hire a guy coming right out, a real young guy coming out with not much experience, because we were limited in our numbers. So I pretty much had to hire somebody that had a background, that had a track record, that had won, that I had seen coach, that had been to a program that I coached against or watched him coach and have success. But when you have so many coaches, you can take a chance on young guys with personality and then teach them how to coach and what you want them to coach.
You know, and Coach, has with your athletic director hat on, I'm sure you would tell Luke, well, here's your budget with your staff, but when you're coming right out of college, you don't have to pay those assistant position coaches much, I'm assuming. But, you know, maybe things have changed. Maybe, you know, but I know there's only a certain amount of pool that can go around with 20 coaches, or, you know, probably close to. If I counted them all up with the assistants, it'd probably be very close to that.
Absolutely.
Well, you have to have a budget.
Yeah, it's not unlimited.
You have to have a budget you're working off of. Yeah.
And if you're looking to stay in budget, Janesville Kia is located right off Interstate 90. It's only minutes away from Madison. They treat people the way they'd like to be treated, and you can see for yourself why people all over Wisconsin have experienced the difference of Janesville Kia and told their friends. Come see Kia's groundbreaking lineup of award-winning vehicles with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. Experience the difference great customer service can make today at Janesville Kia. And while we keep talking about all of the assistant coaches that the Badgers have brought in, ESPN Madison brought in our own assistant coach. Badgers quarterback coach joined Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias to talk about the state of the Badgers, and we'll have that next live on the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. Just around the corner, I'm Alex Gravatt, alongside Derek Engler and a head bob and Coach Alvarez out there in Florida. Coach, you like this music?
I don't know where they must have come to Miami to get that.
you and Riley Auk at the ESPN Madison Everlight Solar Studio have the same music and or taste in music, huh?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Right, he's strong.
Yeah, Riley. Absolutely.
Heck yeah, thank you, Coach.
Hey, Coach, listen, he likes all types of music. I remember one time we were going to lunch, and he had on XM radio, he had the Groove station.
The Groove.
That's my station.
That's right.
That's my station.
Well, now it's 100.5 ESPN,
Salsa,
I'm sure,
you name it. You've got it all.
Did you watch the Grammys, Coach?
A little bit, not much.
Did the right people
I tried
win?
To.
Okay.
I can't answer that.
You know, you can't, okay.
I'm not into it that much.
That's fair. Derek, did you?
No, don't go there with me.
Pro Kendrick?
Yeah, of course. It's on. You know, my wife gets into that. I don't know. You know, it's a lot of Taylor Swift and Beyonce, so, you know, I mean, not really my bag.
It's good
My wife
stuff.
And daughter like it, so.
Riley, did you have any vested interest in the Grammys?
Not any vested interest. I watched because it was on. One of my roommates had it on because he's a huge Drake fan, so he was hoping Kendrick didn't win.
Oh, yeah. Well, he was wrong on that.
Yeah, he was very sad. And then his girlfriend's a Taylor Swift fan, so she was also mad because Taylor Swift didn't win anything. I really don't care.
Taylor Swift is winning life. She's a billionaire excellent music and excellent, you know, performance. She's fantastic. All right, but speaking of fantastic, the Badgers quarterback coach Kenny Guyton joined the Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias, talked a little bit about the state of the Badgers, what's going on, and here's Kenny Guyton on embracing what is going to be a really tough schedule next year.
Yeah. How do you guys approach a daunting schedule?
Honestly, I hope that's the reason you came to Madison, Wisconsin. It's because of that schedule. If you're not that kind of guy, you're probably in the wrong place. With the guy that I know, Luke, Coach Fickell, to be, this is what we want. We want to play the best in order. I mean, we all here, right? You got to beat the best to be the best. I mean, we got the national champs walking in next year in a month of October that is going to be a really, really tough stretch. But we look forward to it. It should bring out the best in our team. No matter where we stand at that moment, we ought to be at our top peak as we walk into that month.
That was quarterback coach Kenny Guyton on the Jump Around with Jim Rutledge and Pablo Iglesias. You can catch that on the ESPN YouTube channel. And, Coach, that's what it's all about, right? You were integral in getting Alabama here this past year. Isn't that correct?
Absolutely. I loved what he said. He's exactly right. He couldn't have said it any better. I mean, we've built this program, and we like to think that it's a high-level program. We're competitive with anybody. We have to play these guys, you know, and you can't flinch and you can't back away and you can't hide, play a bunch of patsies and think, you know, beat a bunch of patsies and think you're good. You got to play the big boys, and when you beat them, you've accomplished something. So I'm really proud of the schedule and really looking forward to him playing, and I'm glad he has an attitude like that because that's what you should have.
Yeah, you got to have it. You know, Coach instilled that in us from day one. And we talked about this on previous shows where it wasn't just about, you know, kind of winning the rivalry games, Iowa, Minnesota, you know, Nebraska. Nebraska wasn't in the league when I was playing, so focused on, you know, those rivalry games. But also the intensity got really turned up because you could just – the excitement – you know, you want to, as a player, you know, play, go to the shoe, you know, have a chance to beat Ohio State or Michigan, you know, which we did in the Big House. And we beat Ohio State at home. You know, we should have beat them there, but very competitive, went right down to the wire. And same with Penn State. They had the longest college winning streak. And Happy Valley is not easy place to play. So, you know, that, I mean, obviously – you know, you got to go to Alabama, then Maryland, got to go to Michigan, Iowa comes here, Ohio State comes here, and then we got to go to Oregon. It's a tough little stretch, but you know what? You got to be prepared, and you got to enjoy that. And you got to, you know, Coach would probably echo this, you know, the players got to believe, but they got to be excited about those opportunities, you know, to go down to Alabama and play in that environment. And, you know, Autzen in Oregon is very, very intimidating if you let it be. Or you enjoy it, and you take that challenge on.
And the Badgers have brought in a lot of upperclassmen in the transfer portal recently. To me, that says, you know, there's a level of we believe in the guys we have in the wings, but they're not ready yet. And these guys really have earned this chance, this opportunity, and given what they've been playing in, what they've been doing, they're really going to love being able to play in a space like this, Coach. When a guy who's been playing at South Dakota State gets a shot, do you think that they're going to really rise up to that moment, or do you think that, you know, having a guy who's been there and done that's more important?
It depends on the individuals. You know, I would guess the coaches have put enough research into these guys that they're people that fit into our program. Someone that, you know, has the philosophy and the attitude. You know, in my case, I'd want somebody that's physical. I want some tough guy. I want some guy that wants to be at Wisconsin and somebody that really would look forward to playing in a tough environment. And playing the very best, because that's what you're going to get. You know, you want somebody that wants to go on and play in the NFL, and somebody that thinks he's good enough to be, you know, if they're bringing guys in from some of these lower division schools, someone that thinks he belongs, and the coaches, after watching film, believe he belongs and can play at a higher level. So, I think that's exciting, and they should be ready to play. You bring a guy like that in, they should be ready to play now.
Well, you mentioned, ironic that you mentioned South Dakota State. I remember Andrew Van Ginkel, when he transferred from South Dakota State, said how impressed he was and how juiced up he got with the Camp Randall, the experience, the environment, our student section, so on and so forth. So, I think there's a lot to be said about that, you know, about players from maybe smaller schools or a MAC school. I mean, I can't remember. Ball State, was that D lineman that came in?
Tight end, yeah.
No. Oh. D lineman. It was a MAC school. Came in and he was, you know, James Thompson goes down and, man, he was one of our best D linemen.
Back, when was this?
Last year.
Making sure.
Yeah.
Listen, there's a lot to be said about these guys who are coming in, and it's really exciting to have those opportunities. It also shows that Luke Fickell and the recruiting staff have their hands in places across the country. I think that really it shows that Wisconsin still has this history and this, you know, acumen that people really look out for. And Jeff Grimes, the quarterback coach, touched on that on the jump around too, Riley, if you could play that.
Coach Grimes came in. He wanted to know about each and every person. The coach, the person, you know, the person's family, everything about us. And then the next thing you know, he wants to know about the team. Right? He wants to know what kind of guys are we getting? What is the recruiting background that we get in Madison? And that's how we built the offense, you know. And it's crazy that all of those things matter in order to build what we want our identity to be. You know, we all know when you look at the University of Wisconsin and you see that W, you see that Badger, there's a certain identity that comes with that. Coach Grimes, you're good. He embodies that. He wants to make sure that everyone knows that identity. And so when you walk into we walk into your stadium, there's no secret, right? It's us trying to impose our will on you and go to work from there.
So that was Jeff Grimes talking, or that was Badgers quarterback coach Kenny Guyton talking about Jeff Grimes and what he brings to the table and how excited he is to go out there and compete and be true to the Wisconsin Badgers team.
And that he's not making that up. A friend of ours and a big donor, an alum, Todd Deutsch, had connected Tarek and I with him, you know, just like he did with Longo. And Todd, he's great because he's always trying to, you know, have guys that are here, especially former players, you know, welcome the new coaches. And, you know, he responded to us right away and told him welcome and so on and so forth. And he said he was just felt so blessed to be here and get the Badgers back to their standard, you know, and that's by winning the Wisconsin way. And this is his words, you know, the way they've won for years, and that's gritty, physical brand of ball. And that got me fired up. You know, obviously that's a different mentality than, and, you know, I love Longo, you know. I couldn't really understand or wrap my head around him not understanding offensive line play and truly, you know, running the football. But that's okay. He had success at other places that worked out. That's not a fit here. And to hear Coach Grimes say that, I'm sure Coach Alvarez would echo that. That's music to our ears.
Coach, are you excited to get back to ground and pound?
Yeah, you know what? I hope they understand what ground and pound is. Yeah. You know, I wish they could go back and dig up some of our old practice films and watch what we did during the spring every day. It's 20 minutes inside drill, which is basically live play, ones against ones, twos against twos, and then do that twice a week during the season to keep your guys sharp. And that's how you get physical. You just don't talk about it and do it occasionally. It's got to be built into your makeup, the physicality. And that's how we were. And you know, we didn't take the backs to the ground, but our defense butted them up. It was physical. But the line play basically was live. And, you know, our guys, they were never intimidated by anyone or at any place. They'd go in and play them because that's what they did every day. That's the only thing they knew. So I hope that they can learn that.
And I know for a fact, and still, I mean, things have changed a little bit, obviously, across the National Football League. But that prepared me, you know, that inside drill prepared me my rookie year with the New York Giants, because that's exactly what we were doing. We were doing 3-on-3. We were doing 9-on-7. There are no receivers. The defense know what exactly is going on, and it is mano a mano. We line up, hands in the dirt, physical, physical, physical. Like Coach said, you know, not taking the back to the ground. You know, really, there's no, you know, we could still cut back then. There was no cutting or anything like that. It was just who could move who and punch each other in the face and get the job done and create a hole or, you know, make a play on defense and a TFL or whatever. So, I mean, it's a physical portion of practice. You know, Wellington Mara never missed it. Never missed that or one-on-one O-line, D-line, pass pro. He never missed either one of those drills, and that tells you a lot.
Yeah, there's no place to hide.
No, none.
There's no place to hide in those drills.
None.
And that's where you build a team, and you build toughness, and you build pride, and they know they can go out and play against anyone.
Could you go out and play against anyone, Derek?
Right now?
No.
With one arm? I can snap the ball. This is done.
Cash, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I want to talk a little bit more about your playing days here in a minute. Do you think that drill prepared Tarek as he's hurling himself down mountains right now?
Well, yeah, there's no question. I mean, if you're inside, I mean, if you're a defensive lineman or a linebacker, that's what it's about. You know, the three techniques got to take up two guys so the linebacker can fill. You know, or the linebacker's got to be ready if a guard gets up in his face. So it's a valuable. It still goes on and very important in the league today. I don't know how much in college. I know it does, but you know, there's so much RPO and no huddle and so on and so forth. You know, it's too bad because a lot of those linemen are not prepared if they get an opportunity to go into the league.
Yes, well, this is the Great Dane Huddle live at the Fitchburg location. I'm Alex Red alongside Derek Engler. Coach Alvarez, of course, not with us in person, but with us in spirit. And we are preparing to get some fantastic food. I've got the wings coming. What'd you get, Derek?
I got the West African chicken peanut stew.
Perfect day for it. Yeah, it's so windy, it's so cold, I had to scrape the entire ice cube off of my car. And the Great Dane Pub and Brewing is in Madison originally. They've been brewing award-winning craft beers for 30 years. Whether you're a fan of the Pilsner, IPAs, Stouts, or Sours, the Great Dane team has brewers always have great things on tap. Head to one of their locations in Fitchburg, Hilldale downtown, or East Madison. Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, Madison's original brew pub, serving award-winning beer and great food since 1934. And we'll be back in just a moment, live on 100.5 ESPN.
Under the moon, it's the same as the emotion that I get from you. You got the kind of loving that can be so smooth, yeah. Give me your heart and make it real, or else forget about it.
It is the Great Dane Huddle live from the Fitchburg location. We're still waiting. Food is on the way for Derek and I. Coach, you've got your G&T keeping you happy out there in Florida, I assume.
I just had dinner with you. My good friend Danny Zakas.
Oh, there we go.
Fantastic. Well, the
I brought up his name earlier right at the beginning of the show, and yeah, that's who I was talking about.
These two guys, you two know each other almost too well at this point. I feel, you know, like years and years of friendship. It's fantastic to hear, but you're as tight as can be.
Well, I'll tell you this: Kirk Herbstreit told Tarek and I this once. We're on a trip and he said, you know, I can't, and Kirk, he is so just genuinely honest. He's like, I think this is the coolest thing ever that, you know, you guys are hanging out with your former coach, you know, at a, you know, nice place and, you know, resort, this, that, and just socializing, having fun, telling jokes, stories, you know. He goes, I could never see any myself or any of my former teammates doing this with Coach Cooper,
so
ever.
Were you too close during your playing days, Derek?
No, I mean, he was my coach.
Right.
I mean, you know, he was great. I mean, he told me the right things. You know, he knew when to get after our ass, and, you know, also he knew when to bring us in and teach us, and he's our coach. I mean, that's a different thing. And then after, you know, I go on to New York, come back here, and he mentored me in a lot of different ways, getting into the industry I'm still in today, you know, which was very valuable as well. So that's the best thing about Coach Alvarez is, you know, not only that, and this is not just me. Countless numbers of alumni have not only said the principles, values that they were taught in school, but if they, you know, they came back or reached out to him after words, you know, business or whatever they might be doing, always gave great nuggets of advice. And that's the best thing about Coach is, you know, it doesn't stop, you know, when you leave the field.
Coach, why was that important to you to be so invested in the professional development of so many of these guys?
Well, you know what? When I recruited players, I told their parents that I care about them as people, not just as football players. And I meant that. And I expected them to get a degree. I was going to support them however I could to help them through that undergraduate process to get their degree. And then when they got out, I always encouraged them to come back and whatever I could do for them in whatever small way that I would, whether it be guidance, a call or two to help with the next job, a recommendation, whatever it might be, that I'm always going to be there. You committed to me. You gave me 4 or 5 years of commitment. I'm going to do the same thing for you for the rest of your life. That's just the way it works.
And which of our co-hosts here, now, of course, Tarek not here to defend himself, needed more mentoring?
that's not even a good question.
That's a terrible question.
Tarek still needs mentoring.
If you said Tarek, well, I failed on that one.
He's doing well. I don't know. He's out
gotta,
there.
Hey, G-Man, we got to talk about the Super Bowl.
Oh, the Super Bowl, right. I mean, you're a Super Bowl participant.
Yeah, well, we didn't end up on the right end of that one. I think Coach might have been at that one. It was down in Tampa, Super Bowl.
I was there.
Okay.
I was there, but you know what, Ings? Just think about what small percentage of people really play pro football. And then the smaller percentage that have participated in a Super Bowl. And you've been able to do that. That's really special.
It was It was a phenomenal experience. You know, obviously, that's not a game you want to lose despite the outcome, but the experience itself was unbelievable. Just so many aspects of it, just everything. It's just, it is the center stage, and it was a lot of fun. You know, we actually had three Badgers, myself, Pete, Monty, and Ronnie. Dane was on the team as well. So, you know, just the halftime. I mean, didn't see the halftime show, but, you know, who was there. But the we were out there for, you know, America the Beautiful. Ray Charles is 10 yards from me singing America the Beautiful. You know, Colin Powell, you know, General Schwarzkopf, you know, was there.
Was there a part of it that felt like a pinch me moment? Like, this is just, this can't be real?
When Britney Spears literally walked right by me and, like, kind of, she didn't know I was standing there and kind of bumped me. She goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry." And, like, kind of grabbed my forearm. I mean, that's not how you get ready for a football. That was kind of a pinch me moment. It was, I don't know. It was really cool. You know, I was glad my family got to go and experience that. You know, it was truly a special moment, you know, and we just, you know, Coach Fossil, our coach, head coach at the time, took a little different approach. He really locked us down. And, you know, we obviously Florida, a lot of New Yorkers. So our hotel was flooded with them. We had to take the back entrance and service elevators, couldn't go through the lobby. We had security on each level of floors. They wouldn't let family or friends even up on our floors. And we'd have meetings until 7:30, you know, so you really couldn't go out to dinner or anything. We had, I think, one or two nights free with like a 11 o'clock curfew or something like that. But then once we got into the work week, it was really shut down. We were in our rooms, and you're watching. I mean, tried not to watch ESPN. If you did, you're just hearing about, you know, the bullies of Baltimore and the best defense since the 85 Bears. And you could tell. Now, Billick, who was the coach of the Ravens, Brian Billick, he let those guys loose, I think, all the way through Wednesday with no curfew. And I'm not saying this is no excuse or whatever, but even pregame, they were out there loose as a goose, man. And I'm not talking about just Tony Siragusa. I mean, I'm talking about the whole – team was just, you could just tell, and we were a little tight. We kept it close in the first half. You know, it just was one of those games when you see Trent Dilfer hitting Brandon Stokely, I think in right in one of their first series for a game beating Seahorn or one of our corners. Dilfer's got to be like one of the worst quarterbacks to ever play in a Super Bowl. And when
we
had a good defense, you know, so that was just the way the game went. And but again, great experience, as you know, Coach said, and very fortunate to have been able to do that and partake in that. So,
Coach, as a fan in the in the stadium, right? As someone who's there with a vested interest, in, you know, Derek, and were there Badgers on the other team?
There were not. No, just the three of us and the Giants.
You were all in on the Giants at that moment. How was that experience? Yeah. Were they calling you?
No one called me.
Oh, no?
No, Sala was calling me, like, trying to get together to go to the bar or something. I was like, are you crazy? Like, what are you talking about? No, you know what, Coach? Yeah. I mean, it was, you know, when you told me you were there, you know, that was a very cool experience nonetheless. But, you know, I just know the after – party or reception, it's like a funeral when you lose that game. You go and commiserate.
Oh, yeah.
I did with my line mates. I mean, you know, we had some drinks to kill the pain, and that's about it. And then you're going to bed trying to forget about it.
Yeah, you're at the mountaintop, and everybody in the world is watching you. And, you know, you could have it either, you know, you could go either way, but you got there.
We got two Badgers, Coach.
We got two
Badgers on Sunday. Zach Bond, which I heard this yesterday, had better number stats all across the board than Luke Kuechly did when he won Defensive MVP of the Year. And that says a lot about that, where he came from, where Zach came from. That's amazing. That's a tribute to him.
I just read something today. They're giving him a lot of credit for the flip of their team.
Yeah,
what he's brought to their not only their defense, but their whole team. What a year he's had. He'll be an all-pro player.
Yep.
Man, it's been he's been impressive. And so happy, you know, for him and for the Badgers. You know, that gives, you know, Wisconsin, the university, the Badgers accolades. Yeah. You know, that puts us on the map. That's the way I always look at it that way.
You got, you know, the linebacker crew on the other side, and one of ours is in Leo Chanel. We used to call him the snake killer here. So, yeah, it's great to see Badgers. You know, even if Washington would have been in there, you had two old linemen and Tyler Biadic at center who had a great year. And backing him up was Dieter, Michael Dieter. So, you know, it's great to see Badgers in the Super Bowl. And, you know, yeah. we've had some of the linebackers that have come out of Wisconsin. Holy cow. I mean, for years and years and years now.
There's just a crazy amount of talent there. And you know, this past year, I know that Tarik in particular was really tough on the linebackers because he felt like they were not up to Wisconsin standards. But it's really nice to have the Wisconsin standards be the captain of the defense for both Super Bowl teams.
I hope we can get back there because linebackers, you know, Jake Ferguson, coach's grandson, of course. We used to be tight end you and putting them out there in the NFL. Now, I mean, this year, you know, I think we have a couple guys. You know, we got Jack Nelson, of course. You know, I mean, but we got to get back to that, you know, because I know this in talking to, you know, guys around the league and scouts, and coach can probably speak to this too, is – you know, they have so much respect for Wisconsin players, you know, and we don't want to lose that, you know, and we want to keep that respect because the NFL, you know, across the league knows if you're coming from Wisconsin, number one, you're going to be disciplined, you're going to be tough, and you understand the game of football and you like to play it. So there's certain teams, Pittsburgh Steelers being one of them, love Badgers.
Yeah.
You know, so Cowboys love their centers and probably now tight ends.
Hey, we only have a minute or two left here. Coach, I got to get your take. Who's going to win the Super Bowl and why?
Well, I could never bet against Mahomes.
Yeah.
Yet, I'm going with the Eagles.
And why is that?
Because I'm a PA guy. And it's time to take it back to Pennsylvania.
All right, Derek, what do you got?
Oh, man. Those are the dirty birds. That's the Turnpike rivalry for me. I mean, I was fortunate. We were 9-0 in my career with the Giants against the Eagles.
Were you really?
Yeah, the last one being a divisional playoff game where Seahorn made one of the most unbelievable off-the-toe, shoulder, bats-it-up interceptions I've ever seen. Google it. G-Man, you'll be like, what was that? Anyway, I cannot, despite Zach being on the Eagles, I'm going for Leo Chanel, Mahomes, Kelsey, and history. Three-peat. Kansas City Chiefs.
I respect it. I'm going to go with the Eagles, too. Sorry, Derek, you're on your own. I got to take coach's side. This has been the Great Dane Huddle live from the Fitchburg location of the Great Dane.